Over 50 American and Canadian farmers and citizens rallied at the border on Saturday, April 17th, to mark the International Day of Farmers' Struggle with a festive array of puppets, placards, and a giant banner hung from the Interstate 91 overpass above the border crossing. The rally coincided with farmer protests in over 26 nations around the world to stand up for farmers' rights and food sovereignty and to say no to GMO crops and corporate free trade. Doyle Canning of GE Free Vermont welcomed everyone to the event and gave a description of the groups who joined together in this action and on whose behalf it was being held.
Today's International Day of Farmers' Struggles is called by the International Farmers' Federation via Campesina. It's a 400 million member strong peasant organization. And today's rally here at Derby Line is hosted by GE Free Vermont campaign, including Rural Vermont and also the Farmer to Farmer campaign on genetic engineering, the National Family Farm Coalition, and we're pleased to welcome Union Paysan from the other side of the border.
Via Campesina is an international movement which coordinates peasant organizations of small and middle-scale producers, agricultural workers, rural women, and indigenous communities from Asia, Africa, America, and Europe.
The call to action from Via Campesina was really also focused on the World Trade Organization and transnational corporations who are pushing GMOs on farmers around the world. The call on this day is to resist the policy of corporate globalization and call for people's food sovereignty, not corporate control.
Ms. Canning provided a brief history of why April 17th came to be known as the International Day of Farmers' Struggle. Featured speakers at the gathering included Bill Wenzel of the Farmer to Farmer No GMOs campaign and Jean-Pierre Jean of Union Paysan, a Via Campesina member organization from Quebec. Bill Wenzel gave an overview of the Farmer to Farmer campaign and how their work includes what is happening here in Vermont.
We're working not only here in Vermont, but in the Northern Plains with family farmers who are opposed to genetically engineered wheat and with rice growers from throughout the South and California who want to make sure that genetically engineered and pharmaceutical rice doesn't get out on the ground to contaminate the land, contaminate the food, and bring an end to family farm agriculture.
As this gathering was in solidarity with the Via Campesina International Day of Farmers' Struggle, Jean-Pierre Jean spoke more to the global effects of corporate domination, GMOs, and the effects of these on farmers worldwide.
Union Paysan is affiliated with Via Campesina and is trying to propose alternative to these corporate controlled agricultural system we have in Quebec, you have in Vermont, you have in Wisconsin, you have everywhere.
Mr. Bergeon described the effects of seed dumping by the U.S. in Honduras.
I went in Honduras last summer in June. And the farmers there, they're quitting their farms because they grow corn. But the dumping from U.S., cheap corn, makes their activity non-profitable at all. They have to quit their farms and go around Tegucigalpa, who was 400,000 people 10 years ago. Now it's 700,000 people. And these 300,000 people additional comes right from the farmers, right from the countryside.
Hillary Martin, who just returned from a month in Palestine, also offered her perspective on the connections between the dire situation of Palestinian farmers, the struggle of farmers around the world, and the fight against GMOs right here in Vermont.
The fence that's going to cross through their land and separate them from their land, prevent them from growing all that's been in their family for hundreds of years, and prevent them from grazing their sheep and their goats. So this is the kind Northern that we're fighting. And what it is corporate control and economic control of a very few that significantly affect farmers and citizens who are trying to live their lives peacefully and trying to carry on decades of tradition.
Doyle Canning also illustrated the devastation caused by the so-called free trade agreements and the corporate control of agriculture.
To the WTO to say, you know what, WTO, get out of agriculture. Free trade policies don't work with food and agriculture because this is about people's land and people's livelihood, not about corporations. So Lee held up a giant sign as he climbed up on the barricade outside of the WTO meeting in Cancun, and it said, WTO kills farmers. And then he took his own life right there in the street to demonstrate to make what the Koreans believe is the ultimate sacrifice for the struggle. And this really, you know, this was like a shot heard around the world. And suddenly everyone was talking about how the WTO affects farmers. We honor Lee here today on the International Day of Farmer Struggles and still struggle on to get the WTO out of agriculture. And his statement, the WTO kills farmers, it's really quite accurate. Dr. Vandana Shiva, who lives in India, she was telling the story about how farmers in India are being sold fertilizers and GMO seeds and Roundup by multinationals like Monsanto, going into so much debt, tons of debt. And in the culture, being in debt is really a big deal, and it's a life and death issue. And so there are stories of hundreds of farmers across India who have gone into so much debt from buying Roundup, they're actually found
Unfortunately, in becoming a signatory to CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, Governor Douglas has made Vermonters unwitting accomplices in the oppressive machinations of free trade. Although the global concerns of corporate agriculture, so-called free trade agreements, the IMF and the World Bank were a highlight of the gathering, the focus was also on Vermont farmers and their efforts to safeguard their farms from GMOs. Dexter Randall of Linden is an example of a farmer who has become an activist due to these issues.
I'm a native Vermonter. I was brought up in the town of Linden on a little family farm that was settled by my ancestors in 1799. This is all about family farm, creating a decent community, a good livelihood for us, good food, and good community.
Two other farmers who spoke were Judy Clark from Apple Cheek Farm in Hyde Park and Jack Laser of Butterworks Farm. Judy Clark.
I'm really moved today. I'm feeling a little emotional about this. John and I do have an organic farm in Hyde Park. We've been fighting for this. It's going to take each and every one of us.
Jack Laser.
I guess my first and foremost thing in life is to love the earth, and I feel like what the corporations are doing in this world of ours is they're forcing people to rape the earth to barely squeak out a living. Probably 80% of the food that you buy at the supermarket, if it's got high fructose corn syrup or soybean oil or hydrogenated vegetable oil, and you're eating GMOs, and nobody knows it. So keep talking to all your friends and your neighbors and reminding them that the more you can eat local and the more you can eat organic, you're going to make the world a better place.
Contrary to the claims of Monsanto and other GMO producers, their crops actually cost farmers more. Bill Wenzel.
Genetically engineered crops increase costs, lower yield, increase pesticide use, and in fact, the only reason that genetically engineered crops are on the ground today is because global multinational biopharmaceutical companies want to enslave more farmers.
State Senator Vincent Iluzzi, a Republican from Orleans, has been a champion of the push against GMOs in the Vermont legislature. Well known for his frank explanation of the sex life of corn in the Senate, here he illustrates the dangers for farmers from contamination of organic crops through cross-pollination.
Is a GE user or farmer on the other
Senator Aluzzi was the primary sponsor for the Farmer Protection Act, which was passed in the Senate. This act would shield non-GMO farmers from lawsuits by biotech corporations if their fields become contaminated. One seeming irony was that Derby's own Republican House Representative, Nancy Sheltra, was one of only 10 who voted against the seed labeling law that just went to the governor for signature. In this post-911 era, with the increase in surveillance and intimidation of peaceful, nonviolent protests, the gathering in Derby line was no exception. According to sources, state troopers scanned the internet, most likely the GE Free Vermont website, and learned of the action. Captain Robillard of the state troopers then called Mike Finer, one of the organizers, to confirm. Their conversation was pleasant, and, according to Mr. Finer, Captain Robillard stated a state trooper's desire to ensure things went smoothly. Thus, during the gathering, 3 and sometimes 4 state trooper vehicles were present. They never approached the group, but their presence was somewhat intimidating, nonetheless. One reporter from the local weekly newspaper, The Chronicle, was somewhat surprised by the police presence and went to talk with them. Since Derby houses the state trooper office, she said it was likely she knew some of the officers. In addition to the state troopers, according to Mr. Finer, Derby Line Town trustees also came by to inquire about the gathering. They were somewhat dismayed they had not been consulted. Despite the police presence, they actually escorted the group as they marched down the town streets to the bridge that lies between the U.S. and Canadian customs stops on Route 91. Although they were unaware of the plan to stop on the bridge for speeches, to unfurl the 15-by-30-foot banner commemorating the Via Campesina Day of Farmer Struggle and opposition to corporate GMOs, they allowed it to take place. On a more disquieting note, one prominent Canadian activist who had planned to come to the gathering was contacted by the Quebec Provincial Police and was told he would not be allowed to cross the border. What's most troubling about this is that this activist had only been contacted by phone or email. Not in person. How the Quebec authorities learned of his plans is of concern, as it implies his phone and or email were tapped or intercepted.
Hi, my name is Meg. Do you know what I got?
What do you got?
I got a message that's hotter than hot.
How hot is hot?
Reporting from Derby Line on the U.S.-Canadian border, this is Melissa Moon with the Quilting Hour on WGDR 91.1, Plainfield, Vermont.